भारत की भूमि पर एक दिव्य पुरुष ने जन्म लिया, नवयुग का निर्माण कराने शिव ने जिन में स्थान लिया।
ओम शांति, वंस अगेन ओम शांति, ओम शांति। सो नाउ आई एम गोइंग टू टेल यू अ वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग स्टोरी, रादर the truth, the facts about Pitashri Brahma Baba, the founder of this organization, who he was and how did he start this organization and how we have reached this position today. The founder of this organization, Prajapita Brahma Kumari Ishwariya Vishwavidyalaya, is Pitashri Brahma Baba. Brahma is supposed to be the creator of humanity, Adi Pita, Rachayita. Some people question, how can he be called Brahma? Who gave him this title? So actually it is the Supreme Shiva, the father of all souls, who gave him this name. And through him did the work of creating the new world. So how it all happened, I wish to tell you now. Pitashri Brahma Baba, whose previous name was Dada Lekh Raj, that was his name, Dada Lekh Raj. And he was a very well-known personality in the society of Hyderabad, Sindh, which is now part of Pakistan. But at that time, it was all one Bharat. He lived in Hyderabad, Sindh. Sindh is a district in Pakistan. And he was a very big jeweler. He dealt with jewels, with diamonds, with jewelry. And his customers were very big, big customers, not ordinary customers. They were the kings and queens of India. Because at that time, India had many, many little kingships. And kings and queens ruled, kings rather, ruled in India. There were little, little, you know, provinces, districts run by ruled by kings in Gujarat, in Rajasthan, even in some parts of South India. The Nizam was ruling in Hyderabad and many parts of South India. So, this story which I'm going to start now starts from the year 1936. That is exactly 71 years ago, when the Britishers were also ruling in India. And Dada Lekh Raj had big customers. Even the Britishers would come to his shop to buy jewelry and diamonds. Even the Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth, Queen Victoria, you know, they were his customers. He had a very big shop in Calcutta, Kolkata. And that was the entrance of the Britishers who used to come through Calcutta. Now, he being a very big jeweler, he had a very good name, and his customers being very rich kings of that time, therefore he was a very rich businessman. But it did not make him egoistic. His riches did not make him so egoistic that he did not care for anyone. Actually, he was a very big philanthropist, a big donor. He used to give away a lot of wealth in charity. He used to help the poor people a great deal, even get girls from poor families, get married and give money for the dowry, you know. So in that way he used to help a lot. If anybody would come to him and ask him for money, he would never send him away. He would always give away some charity. No one went empty-handed from his home. So in this way, he was a very generous person and therefore very good name in the society. A businessman, a philanthropist, and a very big devotee of Vishnu. He worshipped Vishnu. He did not leave any temple without, you know, going there if it was a Vishnu temple. Even Shiva temples he went to, but mostly Vishnu temples. And Srinath and Dwarkanath and Jagannath, Venkateshwara, Balaji, Tirupati, even there also, everywhere, wherever there were Vishnu temples. And he also went to Amarnath, you know, there too he went. So Shiva temples and Vishnu temples he never missed. But he was a strong devotee of Vishnu. And he had the picture of Vishnu always with him, and he used to concentrate on that picture. And he used to pray to Vishnu, God, when will you ever give me your vision? So this was his greatest desire, to get a vision of Vishnu, because he felt that by getting a vision of Vishnu, all my desires in this world or in this life will be fulfilled. But then on the other hand, he was also a very strong reader of the Gita. Not a single day did he not read the Gita. Every day, even if he was in the train, he would take an early bath in the train, and the first thing he would do would be one chapter of the Gita. And in his lifetime, he had made 12 gurus. He loved to listen to Guru Satsang, their sermons, their preachings. And he used to ask them many questions, that why is there so much sorrow in this world? Why are there so many vices in this world? Will this world ever be a world of happiness again? Was it ever a world of happiness after all, at any time? Why did God create such a world of sorrow then? Who am I? Where is God? What is the purpose of life? So he used to ask these questions from his gurus, but then he never got a very satisfactory answer. But he had great respect for the gurus. He had read so many scriptures in his lifetime. And he was reaching the age of 60 years. Nearly 60 years. He had a very good family. He had 5 children, 3 girls, 2 boys, and most of them were married except for one, I think. And he felt that as he was reaching his age of 60, he should now retire, because he wanted to do bhakti for the rest of his life. Maybe go and sit near the Ganges river and sit in solitude, in silence, and meditate on his God Vishnu. That was his aim in life. He did not have any attractions much of becoming too rich. He said, that is enough for me, whatever I have. He had earned enough name and fame in the society at that time. So he used to tell his wife, his children, that I want to retire. But his family members did not allow him. They said, how can you retire so soon? You have to still do a lot. There was one son still to be married, and maybe even one daughter, I'm not sure. But then that was at that time in the year 1936. But then he wanted to know the truth about the Creator and His creation. He used to invite gurus to his house, and they used to deliver sermons in his house, and his family members, relatives, friends, you know, neighbors, they would all come and join in the spiritual talks. So he was leading a very peaceful life, happy life, comfortable life, contented life, but internally that burning desire of knowing the truth was there. So one fine day in the year 1936, he was sitting in the morning in the satsang. His guru was preaching, and there were many people sitting in the satsang. So all of a sudden, while listening to the Gita, all of a sudden his eyes shut and he went into a deep state of trance. Totally eyes shut and as if he was not there at all. He sat in the middle of the gathering in deep silence and his face became so radiant, so red, so peaceful, so loving, as if he was enjoying something and his eyes were shut. So everyone felt that he had probably is getting some vision. But what he was experiencing, that nobody knew. So everyone became curious because he was experiencing something sitting in the gathering. The guru also stopped giving the sermon and everybody was attracted towards him. And then afterwards, when he opened his eyes, he looked around, he saw his guru, and he got up from his seat and went and just, you know, fell at the feet of his guru. So his guru was surprised, so that what happened? What did you see? He said, Guru, oh my guru, how much can I thank you, because with your grace, I got a vision of my God, Vishnu. Vishnu appeared in front of me and he gave me so many blessings. I don't know how to thank you for this great act of charity you have done upon me. You have blessed me. So his guru was curious. He asked him, what did you see? He said, Vishnu appeared in front of me and he blessed me. But the blessing was very different. Usually when somebody gets any vision, maybe of Devi, Kali, Amba, Durga, you know, or any God, Krishna, Rama. So when they appear in front, what happens? Usually the blessing which these personal gods would give is Tathastu. That means this will happen. It will happen this way. Tatha astu. It will happen this way. But Vishnu did not give him this blessing Tatha astu. Instead, Vishnu blessed him Aham Chaturbhuj Tat Tvam. He blessed him with the blessing Tat Tvam. I am Vishnu, four-armed, and so are you. So when he heard this, he was surprised. I am like Vishnu? How can I be like Vishnu? Why did Vishnu bless me as Tatatvam? And then not only he saw one form of Vishnu, but so many forms of Vishnu. You know, Jagannath is also Vishnu form. Srinath is Vishnu form. Balaji, Tirupati is also Vishnu form. And Dwarkadish is also Vishnu form. So all those Vishnu forms appeared in front of him, one after the other. And each one gave him the same blessing. Aham Chaturbhuj Tat Tvam. I am the four-armed Vishnu and so are you. So he began to ask his guru, what does this mean? Why did God bless me as so are you? I am not Vishnu. I am not God. But the guru himself was not aware of what that vision meant. So he said, I'm sorry, Lakhiraj Babu, I cannot give you the exact meaning, but I can definitely assure you that God wants something to be done through you. And He has prepared you for that. Therefore, you are, graced with this blessing that you are like Vishnu. Because you will be doing something great, like God's act. Now, what could he do? He didn't know anything. He was only a devotee, a businessman, a family man, and a responsible man in the world, nothing else. I mean, he wasn't a sannyasi, he wasn't a saint, he wasn't any guru, he was an ordinary man. So what did God want to be, done through him? Anyway, his guru was unable to give the answer what he expected. So he said that now he should look for this answer himself. And for that he wanted solitude. So he told his family members that I want to go to Banaras and spend some time near the Ganges in Banaras by myself in solitude and concentrate on my God Vishnu. Maybe he will tell me what he wants me to do and how he blessed me as you are like me. So he took leave for some days and went to Banaras from Hyderabad, Sindh. In Banaras, he had a friend who was also a businessman like him, who used to invite him to Banaras, but he couldn't make it, and this time he said he would definitely go. So he used to sit in, near the Ganges in Banaras and also be in solitude in the house of his friend. Sometimes he would sit in the garden, sitting in silence, concentrating on Vishnu and asking Vishnu, what do you want me to do? Tell me. So what happened one evening, as he was sitting in silence in his friend's garden under a tree, all of a sudden he had very strange visions. Many visions. In a few days' time, he got many visions. One vision was the vision of destruction of Iron Age through nuclear war. In that he saw a number of aeroplanes flying in the sky. And as they were coming towards a city where there were many people, they would, he saw that something fell from an aeroplane, and that which fell on the ground from the aeroplane created a big mushroom of fire. And there was fire and fire everywhere. And this way so many things were dropped from the aeroplanes, and wherever they were dropped, there was fire everywhere. Actually, it was a nuclear war. Those missiles were falling from the aeroplane. And wherever they fell, they created fire. And everything was burned down in that fire. And he saw that the whole world had turned into ashes. Everything burned down. All people dead. All buildings burned. Everything totally burned down. He asked God, what are you showing me? Is this world going to be destroyed like that? He saw that he was sitting in a corner and looking at the whole world burning. Then after some time, he got another vision. This time it was the vision of a civil war and destruction through a civil war. in which he saw people running here and there, people killing each other with a sword, with a knife, with a pistol, with a stun gun, with a, you know, all these, so many other arms and ammunitions, they were killing one another. And people were running here and there wanting to save their lives. And there was bloodshed everywhere. People were shouting, crying, screaming, hiding, and people running after them, you know. So much chaos, so much of shouting and screaming that people were suffering. When nuclear war took place, when you saw the beginning, in that there was no suffering. Everybody died instantly. They just burnt. But this time in second vision, he saw people suffering and crying, shouting at the top of their voices, running here and there to save their life. But gradually they would fall down and there would be blood and blood and blood everywhere. Then after some time he saw a third vision. So in the third vision he saw destruction happening through natural calamities. On one side he's seeing earthquake took place and all the buildings fell down like, you know, placards. Then he saw famine, people dying of hunger. Third hand he saw so much, a big cyclone, typhoon, tsunami, and all this destruction happening through different forms of natural calamities. And gradually he saw the whole world had turned into just water, water everywhere. And everyone perished in that water, flood all over. Then he's telling God, God, what are you showing me? Why are you showing me this? Does it mean that this whole world is going to be destroyed? Then what's the use of this world? Why did you create it then? And what do you want me to do for it if this world is going to be destroyed like this? And then after some time, he saw another vision. This vision was of Paramdham. In that he saw a golden red light all around, beautiful light. Very soothing, very calm light, and in that golden red world, there were little stars, white in color, so beautiful. Just like you see stars in the sky, but that sky is dark. But this was not dark, it was golden red color. And in that little stars shining, they were actually the souls in the soul world. And he saw that how these little stars, they gradually came out of that light, and they started going downwards. And as they came down, they touched the land, and each star turned into a beautiful deity. And gradually the whole world, which had turned into water and, you know, all burned down and everything was destroyed, that thing gradually started changing. And everything became so beautiful. It was like magic. There were rivers flowing, gardens and mountains and lovely fields, greenery everywhere, and big palaces of gold and diamonds studded on them, and little angels like deities, they were dancing and singing and playing. And everything was so beautiful, each one so happy and enjoying, and it was like a joyful world. And he heard a voice. That voice told him, this is the world you have to establish. And for that, wake up, get up, and start doing this job, this work of creating such a world. So he was surprised. He said, I'm going to create this world. How can I create? I don't know anything. I'm only a small devotee of God. What do you want me to do, and how can I create such a world? For that, what do I have to do? give me all your instructions, your inspirations. I don't mind obeying you, but what do I have to do for that? And in this way, his curiosity even became more, because he didn't know what he had to do for that. And then gradually what happened was that he did not understand anything. So he said, now let me go and finish my business first of all. Tell my partner who is in Calcutta that I don't want to do this business anymore because God wants me to do something different. So from Banaras he went to Calcutta where his partner lived, and he had a very big, like a mall type, you know, like a showroom, big shop where these big people used to come to buy diamonds and gold and jewelry. So he told his partner, but his partner was not willing to accept that he should give up his business. But anyway, he made his partner to understand, and whatever was his share, he took it back and told the partner that now you take care of this business. God wants me to do the business of real jewels of knowledge, the precious jewels of knowledge. I cannot do business of these artificial jewels. The real jewels are jewels of knowledge, because each jewel of knowledge is invaluable. These at least have maybe a value of a few thousand rupees or 100,000, whatever. But this knowledge is invaluable, which God is giving to me. Because he was getting a lot of inspirations about soul, about supreme soul, about this creation of God. You know, many, many things, and he didn't know what to do. So he finished off his business and went back to Hyderabad, Sindh, his hometown. And he told his family members that he had given up everything. Now God wanted him to do something different. So his family members also found that he was completely changed. He was no longer an ordinary person like everybody else was. He was now totally sitting in solitude, not talking to anyone, sitting in silence, and so peaceful, so contented, no questions, no interest in the world, nothing whatsoever, totally peaceful. So his family members were surprised. They didn't know, you know, what was happening and why he had changed so much. He was not like that before. He was very jolly, very humorous, very intimate, very loving, and, you know, doing so much for the society and everything. And here he's totally different, in like a sannyasi he had become. So his family members asked him, what do you want us to do now? He's already given up his business. But he said, God, he's waiting for God to give him some inspirations, so what to do next. Anyway, through that, there was a complete disinterest in his mind and in his behavior for the whole world. And then one day when he was sitting at home in his room, in total isolation, his family members, when they approached his room, they saw that his whole room had turned into light, you know. There was like, without the bulb burning, the tube light burning, but as if there was some light in his room coming from nowhere. So they were surprised, how is this light coming and from where is this light coming? And when they went in front of Baba, they saw that his eyes were shut and he was saying something. Some words were coming out of his mouth. So they went closer to find out what he was saying, but eyes were shut. And the words which were coming out of his mouth were, Nijananda Swarupam Shivoham Shivoham. I am the embodiment of bliss, I am Shiva. I am the embodiment of light, I am Shiva. I am the embodiment of truth, I am Shiva. I am the embodiment of peace, I am Shiva, you know. In this way, these words were coming. That means actually what was happening was that Shiva, the Supreme Being, he had entered in his body and he was giving his own introduction through the body of Brahma Baba whose name was Dada Lekhraj at that time. So when his family members heard this, they did not know what it meant, because who was saying, I am the embodiment of bliss, I am Shiva? Baba had never said like that before. And the voice was also so different, not Baba's voice, some different voice coming from the heavens, like so subtle, so soft. And then after some time when he got up, he opened his eyes, there was so much light on his forehead and his whole face was gleaming, his eyes were shining like bulbs were in his eyes. And they were red, you know, so powerful. And everybody asked Baba, Baba, what did you experience? So Baba said there was some light, very powerful light. And it was so strong, so much might in that light. And that light and might came in front of me. Came in front, and as it came, I could feel that this light and might was not very, very, what should you say, giving too much heat. No, it was very cooling, very loving. And that light and might came to me and entered in my body. And now that light and might wants me to do something. Now what that light and might wants you to do, he didn't know, and so they were questioning. So I don't know, but that light and might wants me to do something. So after that, his behavior changed again. What happened was, he would sit alone in his room, and on the walls, he used to draw some drawings. He used to draw a soul, an oval shape. In that, draw mind, intellect, samskaras, and say, you are a soul. His wife's name was Yashoda. Yashoda is a soul. His wife, his daughter's name was Radhika. Radhika, a daughter-in-law's name was Radhika. Radhika is a soul. So-and-so is a soul, a soul, a soul. So every time he would be saying, oh soul, oh soul. So his family members are surprised. What's oh soul, soul? What is he saying? You are a soul. Nobody knew about that before. And now something new was coming out of his mouth. And then something strange happened. What happened was that all those people who came in his contact and they saw him, or Baba looked at them, immediately those souls, those people would go into trance. And they would see him, who was actually dressed in kurta and dhoti, you know. In kurta and dhoti. So they would see him totally transformed, no longer in kurta and dhoti, white dress, but in a very decorative state, form of Vishnu. He appeared in front of those people in trance in Vishnu form. And that Vishnu is blessing them. May you be blessed. So they would come and tell Baba that we did not see you in your ordinary form, but you appeared like Vishnu to us, Krishna to us, Sri Narayan to us. And the Baba said, I appeared to you like that, I didn't do anything. And then not just his family members or relatives or friends or those who came to him, but people sitting at home, in their own homes, those who had never seen Baba before, even they saw vision of him, that how he was standing there and he changed into Vishnu, into Narayana, into Krishna. And when he changed into Krishna, people would, you know, like want to go and meet Krishna, and then Krishna would disappear and then Krishna would be somewhere else. And he would say, if you want to meet me, go to him. And he would be standing in plain clothes. So Krishna would just disappear by after saying that, go to him if you want to meet me. So people started searching for Baba. Who is this man dressed in white? And by looking at him, we can get Krishna. How? So all the dadis who are in this organization, the senior dadis, they got this type of vision. Every one of them. Each one got the same similar experience. Dadi Prakash Mani, the founder of the administrative head of this organization, she also had a very lovely experience of this type. And her father was an astrologer. So he knew from her horoscope that my daughter will become like a Meera, you know, marry Krishna. Her world will be Krishna. That's what he felt. So that was according to her horoscope, that she would give her life to God. Anyway, so when she came to Baba, Baba saw her and immediately he felt that this one will be a very good teacher, because Baba was opening a school for little children. A boarding school where he wanted teachers who would surrender their life to Krishna, not be paid like ordinary teachers who teach and are paid for their job. And Mama, her name was also Radhika. So she came at the age of 16. They are not related to each other. She's from a different family. The Baba from a different family. But she came with her mother to Baba. Actually, her mother was very unhappy because she lost her father. Mama lost her father. Means her mother lost her husband. And she also lost her son. So husband and son both died. So mother was very distressed. So mother and daughter came to Baba for peace, because everybody told her that go to Baba, you will get peace there because you will get visions of God. That's what people used to say, and everyone would come attracted. So when Baba saw her, he felt that this soul also can do great wonders. And then Shiva Baba used to speak through Brahma Baba's mouth, the knowledge. He would say, keep the sisters in the front. Keep mothers in the front. When mothers and sisters, women, they rise in spirituality, then this world will also rise in spirituality. It's because the mothers, the women, have met a downfall. They have lost all their spirituality. This is why the world has lost its spirituality. Therefore, once the women come up again in the field of spirituality, then the world will rise again. So make these women rise in spirituality. At that time, in Hyderabad, in Karachi, or in that area, people were harassing women. They were torturing women. The women had no place in the society. They had to be under veils, you know, all the time in ghungat. Whether Muslim ladies or Hindu ladies, they had to be always behind the veils, keep their face covered, never come out in the open. And if the husband died, a widow had no place in the society at all. Of course, no question of remarry, but also nobody liked them. They felt that the widow was like a curse in the society, in the family. So much the women were tortured. And now Shiva Baba was awakening the women. So when Baba would say this, so many women would come to the satsang. And Radhe, her name was, she had a very good voice. She used to sing very well. She used to dance very well. She used to play guitar, sitar, harmonium, you know, all the musical instruments very well in her school life. She was only 15 or 16. So when she came to Baba, Baba told her that now you help me in giving lectures. And Mama, you know, she used to say, Om. You should just chant Om. And as she used to chant, everybody sitting in the gathering would go into trance again. And they would see her as Radhe or Lakshmi. So she would be in Lakshmi form and Baba would be in Sri Narayan form. Lakshmi and Narayan sitting in front of them. Or Radhe and Krishna. Or Lakshmi and Narayan. Or Vishnu from her and Mahalakshmi from Mama with four arms and Lakshmi form. So people had so much respect for her also. And she had very good qualities of sustaining everyone, looking after everyone like a mother. Though she was only 15 or 16 years old and a student studying in the last year of school. So Baba put her in the front. And he went away to Kashmir just with his family, you know, for a holiday. Because he really didn't understand what was happening. Because every people were coming and coming and coming, and he did not know what to do. There became a big, news in the newspapers, in the magazines, that in Hyderabad, Sindh, there is a person called Dada Lekh Raj, and he has some magical powers. That those who look at him or he looks at anyone, they are able to see him as Narayan or Vishnu. And there is a young girl, she is seen as Lakshmi or Radhe. So it became a big news. So Baba said, in order to, be away from that rumors and all the too much happening and talk of the town, he went away to Kashmir. And she looked after everyone. But she was so good in giving lectures, so whatever Baba would, he would write, in letters, and he would send that by telegrams to her, and she would read that and explain. So the satsang grew more and more and more, became bigger and bigger. And then after 1 month he came back, he saw that the satsang had grown. Not only family members, relatives, but even outside the other towns and cities would also come to attend the satsang. So Baba said, okay, Baba wanted to read the Gita to everybody. But as he would open the Gita, Shiva would enter in his body and start speaking. So he used to wonder, I'm not speaking, who is speaking through me? So he just stopped and the voice would start speaking, and he knew he was not speaking. But he could listen to what was being spoken through his mouth. Actually, it was Shiva Baba speaking through his mouth and giving his own introduction. So then people began to realize that this is not this person's capacity or his power or magic. It is God's power working here. And then Shiva Baba would tell the mothers, the ladies, the young girls, that now you must lead a pure life. A celibate life, a holy life, because you have to establish a new world. So at that time, 3 revolutionary acts happened at the beginning of this organization. One revolutionary act was visions. The second was sisters in the front, because they used to give lectures, they used to sing, they used to, give visions, and people used to feel so much bliss in their company. And the third revolutionary act was that God now directed them to make their life holy and yogi and not lead any worldly life. So they said yes, and they promised to God. So when this happened, the people in the society, they revolted. They did not like this idea, because it was like their rights being snatched away. They had the possessiveness over women, and this was being taken away. Probably their conjugal rights were being taken away. And they said, why you are taking our rights? You are leading a pure life, okay, why do you want my wife to do that, my daughter to do that, all that. But Baba used to say, it is not me, I am not doing it, I didn't even know. I was also like you, a family man. I have my family, I am living with my family. I didn't tell anybody. But it is God doing that work. In an incognito way, is His power working here, not mine. Anyway, that power was so strong that about 385 brothers and sisters, means all families, mother, father, daughter, son, daughter-in-law, son-in-law, families and families, they dedicated themselves, because Shiv Baba directed them, now surrender your lives for this godly cause. So they surrendered their life, and then Shiv Baba directed Brahma Baba and Jagatamba Saraswati, that was the name given to her. Jagatamba Saraswati, the daughter of Brahma, and he was called Prajapita Brahma. These titles were given by Shiv Baba to them. And so many who surrendered, they were also given different names. Like Dadi Prakashmani, her name was Rama, but she got this divine name Prakashmani. You know, like that. So, they all surrendered, about 385 brothers and sisters, and then from Hyderabad, Sindh, they migrated to Karachi. Karachi is also, is not far from Hyderabad, Sindh, about 3 hours distance. About a few hundred kilometers, about maybe 100 kilometers away. So, they all moved to Karachi and they got different houses and they started living in those houses. And they lived there for 14 years. 14 years. 1937 until 1950. And this organization was called the Brahma Kumaris organization. Of course, there were men also, but Shiv Baba put the females, the ladies in the front. And therefore, it was called Brahma Kumari's organization. And these people, they lived in isolation for 14 years without meeting the outside world. 37 to 1950. And during these 14 years, there was a Second World War from 1939 to 1945. And at the end of that Second World War, America bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki and destroyed both the cities, and hundreds of thousands of people perished in that Second World War. So this was like a rehearsal of the destruction scene Baba had seen in Banaras. Then in India, there was a civil war because India and Pakistan became two separate countries. India was divided on the name of religion. But India remained secular. But Pakistan became a Muslim country. And many Hindus who were in Pakistan, where Sindh was a province of Pakistan, the Hindus had to run to India, to Bharat, to save their lives. Otherwise they were being killed. Or they were forced to become Muslims to convert their religion. But those who were very strong, they just ran without any possessions. They just ran empty-handed, barefooted and came to India. But still many were killed and many who came started living as refugees in India. So those who know about the Indian history of 1947, you know how so many people from Pakistan area came and stayed as refugees in India. The Sindhis in particular. And this organization was also in Sindh, in Karachi. Karachi is in Sindh. But this organization did not come to India. At that time, Shiva told them that you continue staying here and you will be protected. So, actually the government was very good to protect this organization. No terrorists or hooligans or any, you know, people who created any disturbance could enter this inside the buildings. But there was a police security all around. So they were well protected by the government of Pakistan. Because they used to say, you are holy people. Holy, therefore, you should be protected. Anyway, those 3 years were also very crucial years for India and Pakistan. But then afterwards, when in 1950, India became a republic on 26th of January, then Shiv Baba told Brahma Baba and everybody, now move to Bharat. Bharat is going to become the world's lighthouse. And you are going to spread that light of spirituality in the world. But don't go on the shore, like Karachi was on the seashore, like Mumbai, but go to a mountain. So Mount Abu is a very small hill station, not a very big one like Kashmir and Shimla or Nainital. It's quite small comparatively, but a very quiet hill station. It's only 4,000 feet above sea level. And at that time when they came to Mount Abu, Mount Abu was totally like, you know, a tribal area. Only the tribal people lived here. And in April, May, June, the kings of Rajasthan, Gujarat, you know, who had little provinces, they used to come and spend their summer here. So in Mount Abu, there are many palaces. They are the summer palaces of the kings of that time. You have Sirohi Palace, Alwar Palace, Jaipur Palace, Jodhpur Palace, Bikaner Palace, Sirohi Palace and so on. Little districts of Rajasthan. Kota House and all that. And so when these sisters came to Mount Abu, they took on rent a palace. Because when India became a republic, all the kings had to give up their kingship. You all know the history. And there was a ceiling on their land also. They could not keep much property. And therefore they sold their palaces or they became hotels or schools. So in Mount Abu you have many schools and hotels of, you know, in these palaces. So, and people gave away on rent, those kings. So this organization took one place called Bharatpur Palace on rent. And they lived in that for 5 years, 55. And in 55 they went to another place, which is now the Rajasthan Circuit House in Mount Abu. And then in 58 they came to the present Pandav Bhavan, which you must have seen yesterday, where Brahma Baba's room is and the Tower of Peace is, the History Hall is, Baba's hut is. So in 58 they came to that place and then bought that place. So this was then owned by them. But before that, for 8 years, they lived in different parts of Mount Abu only. But in 1952, Baba sent them to different places in India because they got invitations from their family members to come and teach the knowledge which they had learned for 14 years to those family members, because family members also migrated to India. So then these sisters went out. The first center opened in Delhi. And after that in Bombay, then thirdly also in Bangalore, Allahabad, and you know, in so many different parts of India, and this way centers opened everywhere. And Pitashri Brahma Baba used to often go to Bombay, Mama used to go to Bombay, and children from all over used to come to Mount Abu. So this way centers grew and Baba's children also grew. And like me, thousands of sisters, we dedicated our lives. I came in this organization in the year 1959 in Bombay. I was studying at that time. I was only 11 years old at that time, in 1959. I came with my mother because there was a center, a sub-center there, and I went with my mother. I liked this knowledge very much and I felt this was what I was looking for. It was like my past birth sanskars. But I continued to study and I did my graduation, and Brahma Baba gave me so much love and affection. I felt that he was like my real father. So I lost my physical father when I was just 3 days old. In a road accident. So I never saw my physical father, my bodily father. But when I met Baba in Bombay, Baba said, "Come child." And I felt my father called me. I had no knowledge. I was so young. But my father called me and I felt this one was my real father. When I was born, just 2-3 days before my father expired, he died in a road accident. My mother got a vision of Brahma Baba. Like Brahma Baba told her, like consoled her, that I will be her father and I will look after her. Give her to me. You know, like that. She saw like an angel appearing and he did like this. And my mother gave me to him. And then her eyes opened, of course. I was very much there, very young, just 3 days old. And that very evening, my father, you know, died instantly in a road accident. So, but she had this faith that like God sent an angel and that one will protect my daughter, you know. She was so young, hardly 18 years, and became a widow at the age of 18, married just 2 years, and I was the first child. My father died in the accident. But later on, my aunt, my father's sister, she started looking after me. And I was educated in Bombay. And then when Baba used to see me, he always used to say, "Child, you will become a world server. You will serve in the world. You have to do a lot of service." So when I used to listen to Baba, I used to wonder how I would do service in this way, serve souls. But then when Baba was, in 1969, Brahma Baba left his body on 18th of January at the age of 93. At that time I was in my last year of college, I was doing my science graduation from Bombay University. So when I heard that Baba has left the body, I immediately felt that, "Oh Baba, how can you go? You can't go. I have not fulfilled your wish, because Baba had said that you will serve and I'm only studying instead, just in college. How will I serve the world and how will I fulfill Baba's wish?" So well, that's another story of how Baba left the body. But Dadi Prakashmani was in front of Baba, and Baba was sitting on his bed, which you saw in Pandav Bhavan, Baba's room, with eyes shut, and he was sitting like this, like I'm sitting. And Dadi went in front of him, and she, you know, got hold of his hand to just make sure she was there. And as he opened his eyes, at that very moment, hand in hand, and he was looking at Dadi, Dadi was looking at him, and the soul left the body. Instantly, without any pain, without any, you know, problem. It was so easy. And as if through that hand and through the eyes, Baba gave all the powers to Dadiji, willed everything. And then, of course, after that, Dadiji became the administrative head. And there is one other Dadi called Gulzar Dadi, Dadi Hirdai Mohini Ji. She lives in Delhi, but she keeps coming here. She's a trans messenger. And she used to see Brahma Baba in the angelic form. And that angelic form would tell her that this Brahma will become an angel, will become this one. So when Brahma Baba left the body, then she went into trance and saw that angelic form, and that angelic form told her that now the corporeal Brahma has become an angel, he has become perfect. And that perfect form is this one. And now in this perfect form, Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba's perfect form, angelic form, will do this task of world establishment, golden age establishment. So Gulzar Dadi did not understand, nobody understood what it all meant. But then after the body was cremated on 21st of January 69, Dadi Gulzar went into trance to offer bhog to Baba. And after that, Shiv Baba and the perfect soul, complete soul of Brahma Baba in the angelic form entered in the body of Gulzar Dadi. And we who were sitting in the hall, we felt that it was not Gulzar Dadi who was looking at us or speaking, but it was Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba. And we call that Bap Dada. They had entered in her body and started speaking. And that was the first Avyakt Murli, Avyakt Vani, which Shiva and the complete form of Brahma's soul spoke through the medium of Gulzar Dadi. And since then, for the past 38 years, from 69 until today, we have these Avyakt Vanis. Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba's perfect soul speak through the medium of Gulzar Dadi. And this hall that you see in front, which has a capacity of 20,000. At that time, even that hall is not sufficient. So many brothers and sisters come from all over the world, from the months October until March. We have this program, and brothers and sisters come from different parts of India and from foreign countries, because we have centers in 110 foreign countries. and thousands of centers, over 8,000 centers, and nearly 10 to 15,000 sisters like me dedicated, and hundreds of thousands of brothers and sisters like you who are regular students in our centers and who get this Avyakt Vani and the revised versions of the Sakar Vanis, which you will be told tomorrow morning about how Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba's perfect soul are speaking to us and giving us these sermons which we read every day, churn every day, remember every day and practice it every day. So all that which is being taught are the revelations of the Supreme. You may ask, can we come to these Vanis, these programs, Avyakt programs? You say, yes, of course you can come, but there's a condition. At least 1 year you should be going regular to our centers, every day, regularly, for 1 year at least. And you must be, you know, obeying, fulfilling all our principles, our disciplines. Purity of food and purity of thoughts, words, actions. So all these are our disciplines, and those who follow these disciplines, they come to our programs. We call them Avyakt Bap Dada programs. We have these Avyakt Vanis also in our sermons. So you can also come, but when you go from here, you should go to our centers and be regular students there, attend the Gyan Shivir, our regular classes there. And whatever Shiv Baba says through Brahma Baba, that we have to inculcate in our life. And we can surely transform our lives. Because if his life could be transformed, why not our? So, Mama left her body in 1965. And tomorrow, 24th of June, is the day when she left her body 42 years ago at the age of 48, 46, 47 42 years ago she left her body. But now we have Dadi Prakash Mani, who is the administrative head. We have Dadi Janki Ji, who lives in London. She's the additional administrative head. Dadi Hirday Mohini is a joint administrative head. And we have so many different zones and their zonal heads. In this way, this organization's administration is run. But we all say that the backbone is Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba's perfect soul working here and inspiring the souls to become holy and yogi. So you also can become that. But for that, you have to go regularly to our centers. And see, we also say that this is a Vishwa Vidyalaya, a university. In a university, you have to pay some fees, no? So what fees are you going to pay here? You say, our fees are 5 vices. These are our fees, which you have to surrender here and make a promise that you will go back and go there every day, regularly, 1 hour every day. Become a student there and attend the lessons, attend our classes, and in this way, transform your life. So we say in Hindi, panch khote paise daan karo, ek aana lekar jao. Sacrifice or surrender the 5 vices, panch khota paisa. They are the 5 false coins. You surrender and take away with you 1 anna. Anna, you know, 16 annas they would say in 1 rupee. So anna has a meaning. Anna also means to come. You say in Kannada, we say bani, bani, come. So similarly we say anna, to come. So Baba says you come to our centers every day, and this is the promise you make, and through that you will get the strength from Shiv Baba. Now how many of you are willing to do that is up to you. So those who think that yes, they are ready to give the 5 false coins and take with them 1 anna, you raise your hand. Achha? You are willing? Are you sure? Are you sure? Okay, then, so you should congratulate yourself. Thank yourself that you are going to make this promise. You are going to take this strength from here and go from here as a transformed person. And then you can come again, because very many ask, can we come again? You say, yes, why not? You can come again, but not in this Raj Yoga camp. But you will come in our refresher courses. We have so many different courses happening here. So you can come in any of those courses. This is only a basic course, preliminary course. We have much higher courses than this. So you can join that later on by becoming a regular student of our center. So this is where I end now. Om Shanti.
की गंगा।